Today is Saturday, December 5th, and today we're continuing our conversation about mental health as the pandemic continues to take a toll. Last week, we talked about the science of happiness. This week, we're talking about what to do when things aren't so happy. Our celebrity guests today are sharing their personal struggles with addiction, trauma, and isolation, and how they overcame them. And it's important. New research shows 2020 has triggered a big rise in emergency room visits for cardiac arrest tied to drug overdoses. The CDC reports that by late June, 13% of adults started or increased alcohol consumption or drug use to cope with pandemic-related woes. And in September, the Kaiser Family Foundation reported a growing number of U.S. adults struggling with a variety of mental health issues, increasing from 32% of adults in March to 53% in July. So today, you'll hear from host, actor, and TV personality Jason Waller. You may remember him from shows like Laguna Beach, The Hills, Celebrity Rap Superstar, and Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. He battled a public struggle with addiction, but has been sober since 2010. And since then, he's dedicated his life to raising awareness about addiction and mental health. And that includes his role as co-chair of the Red Songbird Foundation, which was started by our other guest today, Billboard charting singer Hillary Roberts. Together, they host the podcast Let the Journey Begin. So here's our conversation. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Jason and Hillary. Thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I know both of you got into this work with mental health because of your own personal experiences. Let's start by just having you each briefly share your own struggles with mental health and why this is so important to you. Jason, if you want to kick this off.
Yeah, I mean, geez, from the ages of 18 to 23 years old, I went through a very, very public battle with addiction, you know, struggled with getting in trouble with the law. You know, I went to 13 different treatment centers from Florida to Hawaii, every state in between. And I went through the ringer. You know, my addiction not only took me to the depths of contemplating suicide, but actually attempting suicide. I had no purpose. I had no motivation. I had no sense of self-worth. Alcoholism and struggling with hard drugs, it robbed me of everything that I loved in life. I grew up as somebody that loved, you know, playing sports, loved, you know, wakeboarding, surfing, skateboarding, snowboarding, you name it. I loved being outdoors. And, you know, what addiction did is brought me into isolation, into a bathroom by myself. But also just looking at, you know, the statistics that are out there, the leading cause of death in 50-year-old individuals and younger is related to substance abuse and mental health suicides. So it's very, very important for us that we, you know, talk about it. You know, by expressing vulnerability, it creates humility. And it's so imperative that we share our own stories to connect and have that relatability with people out there to let them know that they're not alone.
I too struggled with alcoholism and drug addiction, but I grew up with a horrific childhood sexual abuse. And after I got sober, I had nightmares for my first 6 years sober, and I had to seek outside help. And just that the trauma that I had gone through really showed up in crazy ways in relating to having relationships with men, and it wasn't healthy and it wasn't pretty. And the self-esteem, of course, was non-existent. And I also contemplated suicide. It was an awful existence. It was just, and I never thought I could feel better. I never thought I could have freedom.
Obviously, you have come so far. What was it that started to turn things around for you?
What started to turn it around was first getting sober, because if I'm numbing the pain and I'm acting out in my addictions, I mean, that whole lifestyle was just awful and disgusting. But when I sought out help and I got free and started getting sober, and then when I was willing to start facing the trauma and walk through the memory lane, walk through the fire so that I could get to the freedom, things started changing. And it was also giving a voice to it. It was also speaking the truth and not living in my own isolated shame of what I had experienced.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for me, I had to get to a complete form of surrender. I had to be completely and utterly honest with myself. I had to be willing to take direction. And it was until then when I actually really understood and admitted that I was an alcoholic, that I was an addict, that I was actually able to start this journey. And that was, I mean, for me, it was really just the surrender and getting honest.
So together, you've co-founded the Red Songbird Foundation. It focuses on issues related to addiction and trauma. What do you think in your work has been the impact specifically of this pandemic that we're all dealing with now, especially for people struggling with some of these same issues either now or maybe they've already recovered? What are you seeing?
I mean, look, this time that we're in right now, I mean, we are at an all-time high of people dying from suicide. We're at an all-time high of people abusing drugs and alcohol, and overdoses are at an all-time high. When we're in a form of isolation and we are not in a form of connection, it's a very scary and dark place. I mean, the longest living study that's ever been done is at Harvard, and that's around happiness. And the number one form of happiness is human connection. And so when you have everybody in this isolated state, you are having a lot of people who are struggling, and more so now than ever. I mean, you put these people in confined environments that they're not, privy to be able to deal with. I mean, alcohol sales are up 400%. Marijuana sales are up, I think it's 300-400%. I mean, you just look at this, people are looking to escape, and the truth is there's no normality in escaping reality. So what is it that these people are trying to do? And it's just showing that there's a lot of people that are enduring different things. And this pandemic has caused trauma for everybody, period.
We are not done yet. Still ahead, hear Jason's advice to people who have just a little extra anxiety these days and to those dealing with more severe addiction or mental health issues. And we discuss the good and bad of social media. But first, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. Castle Grade masks are registered with the FDA as an N95 mask, so you are getting a high level of protection with these masks. Yet the company says the soft silicone is specifically designed not to fog your glasses or leave marks on your face. And they're reusable and sustainable. Just throw them in the dishwasher for easy cleaning. So with one purchase, you get the protection you're looking for while you also help cut down on the billions of masks being thrown out each day. In fact, that's why Dan Castle first launched Castle Grade. Plus, Castle Grade now has a new filter option available for smoke-affected areas during wildfires, for example. It's been independently tested, and the company says the charcoal filters serve a dual purpose for stopping both the virus and smoke particles. Go to castlegrade.com to learn more about all the options and sizes, and enter the discount code NEWS10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's castlegrade.com, and use the code NEWS10, NEWS10, at checkout for 10% off your first order. Also, thanks to our sponsor, Magic Spoon. I really did not think I would eat much cereal ever again. I sort of gave in to thinking it was either too sugary or too many carbs for a good breakfast or snack. And that is until I found Magic Spoon, the guilt-free adult cereal. It is high protein, low carb, and still has that great, sweet, and delicious taste. So many of you have asked, and now you can finally build your very own custom variety box. You can choose from the best-selling cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry flavors, plus their new flavors, including peanut butter and cinnamon. And the peanut butter is so far my favorite. Magic Spoon is keto-friendly, gluten-free, GMO-free, soy-free, and grain-free. It also has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. So get yours at magicspoon.com/newsworthy, and be sure to use our code NEWSWORTHY at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee, so if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/newsworthy, and use the code NEWSWORTHY for free shipping. All right, now back to our conversation. Yeah, we've seen a range of issues, right? I mean, more severe mental health issues all the way to just people who are feeling some extra anxiety that maybe they've never dealt with before. What's your advice to both ends of the spectrum?
I have a very, very sound structure, because creating structure creates safety. So for me, every morning I wake up, I do a morning meditation, I do a prayer, I do a gratitude list, something that people, if they're going through things, just a simple thing of connecting with people, is write a gratitude list of 3 things you're grateful for, but not only what you're grateful for, but why you're grateful for them. That's where the meat and the context of everything is. And then after that, share that with a few individuals, create that camaraderie and that connection. But it's reaching out. The biggest thing is there's so many people out there that are struggling, and so many people think it's just themselves and they live in this shame, right? And I always say shame, this acronym I came up with for shame is self-hatred against my existence. And I think when you can get back past the part of opening up and sharing that you're going through something with somebody, that's where the healing process starts. So I think it's, again, is opening up, it's creating that connectivity, creating that bond with somebody and letting them know that you're not in a good place and that you need help. But I highly advise it's even prioritizing my day. I mean, every single day that I get up, I prioritize what I have to do today, you know, and I can't look at yesterday. I got to give up hope of a better past, and I can't look to the future. I got to live in the moment.
Some reports, of course, suggest that perhaps social media is making people more anxious or depressed. Then again, you can connect with people that maybe you would have never met before or realize that you're not alone with some of these issues. So what's your take on both the pros and cons of social media when it comes to mental health?
Well, I think it's really important. There's a lot of support groups online. It's just so important to try to connect in the midst of this COVID crisis. I can tell you that I almost every day am on some kind of support group online.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a very sensitive topic. You know, I think there's great aspects and great avenues for social media, but I also believe in this day and age that we're living in, is social media is actually antisocial. There is nothing like connecting with somebody face to face and actually having that human interaction, feeling the energy, you know, feeling the personality. I mean, there's something that you get way more, you know, from being in person with people. And I know, again, it's challenging when we're in the midst of, you know, of COVID and, you know, the pandemic. But it's for me, for my own mental health, I had to have a core group of people that I surrounded myself with, because my mental health was more important than potentially, you know, getting sick. I mean, there's a very sensitive topic on that, but there's a core group of people where we agreed that our mental health was important. And when we got together, you know, we were social distance and stuff like that, but we all agreed that we needed to have that human connection. And I think, again, you can get great things from that, but I'm not one of the people that benefited from, you know, online meetings or different things. I think there are people that have benefited from that, but I've heard a lot of people, like, they do get stuff out of it, but there's also a big group of people that they struggle with that. And I don't want to be a hypocrite by any means, but I will tell you, I was a person that was on social media all the time, but I also know that it changed my perception. It made me, you know, I could literally physically feel different mentally, emotionally, like it would change those things about me. So I actually have a timer that I set on my phone, like that, like shuts off like any social media after, I have it on for an hour, which is still a lot, but I don't even hit my timer. But in case, I used to be on it like hours a day. So I have a timer that will like shut off the apps, which has been very, very helpful. But I also have like just been more disconnected from my phone. You know, I stay very active, you know, and I'm trying to go back to like what it was like when I was a kid. You know, the simplistic, our world moves in a very fast pace, and I'm learning, less is more now. And that's kind of where I'm at.
Even as people have opened up more online and with each other about mental illness and mental health issues, there is still somewhat of a stigma that exists, at least for some people. How do we overcome that? And what do you want people to know about that stigma?
If you don't understand that half the population is affected by this, then you haven't done any research. You know, every single person knows somebody or has personally been touched by it. That's facts. And again, is the amount of people that struggle with this, it's alarming. It is absolutely horrible that more is not being done. So what we have done with the Rhett Somburg Foundation is our goal is to create the most safe and trusted resource that you can go to, whether you're struggling with substance abuse, mental health, or trauma. And it will be an avenue to help walk you through and navigate, whether it's you or a loved one that is going through something, to give you the tools and the resources to get you on track so you can start a process and live a life that's absolutely worth living.
And you can go to redsongbird.org to learn more about the Red Songbird Foundation. And if you or someone you know needs immediate help, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255, or you can go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org. As always, you can learn more about our guests and follow what else they're up to in today's episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll keep you updated on all the day's news in about 10 minutes, Monday through Friday. I'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.